Welcome to the Craig T. Owens audio blog, with Craig's blog posts in audio format to go. Craig's new book, When Sheep Bite, is available now at craigtowens.com.
Time for a self-check. When it appears we have been unfairly attacked, let's not react immediately in a natural way. Instead, let's allow the Holy Spirit to empower us to respond in a supernatural way. This is the first message in our new series called When Sheep Bite Sheep. If you'd like to watch the video of this full message, I've shared that link in the show notes.
Well, as we just saw in that psalm that David shared, man, it's great to be together with other saints. You've probably heard that statement that I think David reflected it really well. You know, it's a psalm of ascent. So we're climbing up. I mean, the pilgrims were literally climbing up, physically going up to a higher altitude, but it was pointing us to heaven as well. And David says, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. And then he looks back at the high priest and says, it's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. That is amazing. You've probably heard that before. To live above with the saints we love, oh, that will be glory. You've probably heard this part too, but to live with the saints we know, well, that's a different story. We do have to live with saints around here. And you know what? This Psalm 131, I think, is a great, if we can say it this way, kind of crudely, but it's a selling point, right? When people see saints living together and in unity and celebrating that, they're like, ooh, I want to be a part of that. But there's an embarrassing part sometimes to the way that some of the people in God's kingdom behave themselves. Because David, who wrote these beautiful words of Psalm 131 about unity and God's blessing on that, David also wrote in Psalm 43, all my enemies whisper together against me. They imagine the worst for me, saying a vile disease has beset him. He will never get up from the place where he lays. You know, oh man, those enemies. Well, who were they? Even my close friend, whom I trusted, he who shared my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. That's kind of embarrassing that we have to sometimes address that in the church. The people that you would think would know better and not behave that way. I wrote a book, as you guys know, about a year ago, that was intended for pastors. It was called When Sheep Bite, and it was for pastors to respond to things like this that David points out here. But you know, when it comes right down to it, in God's kingdom, the shepherd really is just a sheep that God has elevated, has moved to a place of being the shepherd, and there's bites that are going on. So I would like to walk you guys through, how do we respond as Christians when sheep bite sheep? I'm going to guess that you've been bitten by a fellow sheep. And if you happen to live such a blessed life that that's never happened to you, I promise you it's going to happen to you. I hate to burst your bubble, but there is going to be a time that another sheep, that like David says here, you know, somebody who is a close friend, somebody whom I trusted, somebody who shared my bread, has lifted up his hand against me and spoken these words, that, you know, this vile disease, and I hope he never gets up from that. And then David says, oh, it's wonderful when we're together. Man, is it painful if we're not together and we're fighting each other? Now listen, we are humans. We have natural human reactions. Natural human reactions. But I believe what the Holy Spirit consistently calls us to throughout the Bible, when we have been bitten, when we've been slighted, when somebody has, even a close friend, has lifted up their hand against us, I believe what the Bible is calling us to is a supernatural response. Not a natural reaction, but a supernatural response, because that is what also glorifies God and makes the kingdom of God attractive to other people. When they say, hey, this is real life. I would not trust it if I looked at a group of people and all they ever did was get along. I'd say, somebody must be giving in somewhere. Right? Somebody's not standing up for what they really think. But when you see a group of people that say, well, yeah, somebody did get hurt. Somebody did get insulted. Somebody did get wounded. And yet, instead of like splitting and going their opposite ways, they worked it out. And the relationship became even stronger after that. That is an incredible testimony. Let me show you in the life of Paul where we see this supernatural response from him when he was attacked. Now, Paul has come back to Jerusalem, and there is a group of people that share a lie about him. They say Paul is in the temple, and he brought Gentiles in where they weren't supposed to go, which was not true. But the Jewish leadership is literally ready to rip Paul limb from limb. They physically have their hands on him, and they are trying to pull him apart. The Roman centurion, the Roman guard there in Jerusalem, comes in and rushes to Paul's aid, and the soldiers have to pick up Paul and carry him out of there. So the Roman centurion finds out, well, Paul didn't break any Roman laws. There's no civic laws that have been violated. As far as I can tell, this is just a religious dispute, but I need to get to the bottom of this because part of his job was to maintain peace in the city. So he gives some time. Okay, let's let everything calm down here. Let's let everybody sleep on it for a night, see if we can calm down. And then the centurion reconvenes the Sanhedrin, says, you guys come together. I'm going to bring Paul back in there. And so Paul comes in. And it's recorded for us in Acts 23. Paul starts off in a very simple way. Paul looked straight at the Sanhedrin and said, my brothers, I have fulfilled my duty to God in all good conscience to this day. You find anything offensive about that statement? I mean, we say that all the time to people, right? We're like, I have a clear conscience on this. I don't think I did anything wrong. I can live with myself. I sleep fine at night. Look at the response. At this, the high priest Ananias ordered those standing near Paul to strike him on the mouth. Seems like a bit of an overreaction. But I think that Ananias was kind of saying, hey, Paul, I'm going to show you who's in charge here. Let me show you the kind of authority that I have. I just go like this, and you're in trouble. Now let's change the setting for a second. Let's imagine it's a modern courtroom setting. Okay? The defendant, his attorney, is going to have him testify on his own behalf. Calls him to the witness stand. He raises his right hand, solemnly swears to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God, sits down on the witness stand, and his attorney says, so you're on trial, do you think that you did anything wrong? And he says, judge, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I can tell you in all good conscience, I don't think I did anything wrong. And the judge says, bailiff, hit that man on the mouth. What would we say about the judge? We go, well, what is your problem? That's not the way that we do things. Mm-hmm. Well, that's exactly what Paul did here. Paul reacts in the moment. He says, God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. You sit there to judge me according to the law, yet you yourself violate the law by commanding that I be struck. I just go, yeah, Paul, I'd say the same thing. What did I do? I said, I've checked my conscience, in all good conscience, I don't think that I've done anything wrong. Smack. Hey, listen. Okay, that's how I would react. It's perfectly natural. But then look, some information comes to Paul. Those standing near Paul said, you dare to assault God's high priest? And Paul replied, brothers, I did not realize that he was the high priest, for it is written, do not speak evil about the ruler of your people. Now, how did he not realize? Well, you know, do you realize what Paul has been through physically up to this time? He's been stoned and left for dead. He's been shipwrecked. He's gone without food. He's gone without probably sleep multiple times, many days being on the run, just in harsh conditions. We can pick up from some of Paul's letters where he actually will pick up the pen from the person who's just recording his words, and he says, here, let me take the pen and write it. It appears as though this physical toll on Paul's body is especially showing up in his eyesight. It appears that Paul's eyes aren't what they used to be. And so he's seeing maybe just kind of a blob of people sitting up there, not really realizing who it is that's speaking. So here's what Paul does. He could have made an excuse, right? Hey, he started it. Well, I get to, he was wrong. He started it. He could have justified it. Oh, I'm sorry, I don't see very well anymore. I didn't know who that was. I don't see any excuses. I don't see any justification. What I see is an immediate, sincere, simple apology. And here's what he really says. He really says, that guy violated man's rules, and that's why I reacted the way that I did. It was a natural reaction. But now that you brought this information to me, I realize that I broke God's law, which trumps man's rules. And now there's a supernatural response. I apologize. I'm sorry. I overstepped my bounds. I shouldn't have done that. I think one of the things that we have to be aware of is that the bite might be to get our attention. See, David prayed this in Psalm 139. After saying how well that God knew him, he still says, search me, God, and know my heart, test me, and know my anxious thoughts. Is there something offensive in me? Is it possible that I said or did something that caused the other person to react this way? Or maybe I could say it the other way. Is it possible that maybe I didn't say something when I should have? I sat still when I should have acted. I should have stepped in someplace and I didn't. And could it be that that's why they're reacting the way that they are? Is that a possibility? I think that is the supernatural response. I think the natural reaction is just to say, how dare you treat me like that? Amen. I didn't do anything wrong. Just a quick judgment. Now, let me show you how David not only doubles down on this, he triples down on this. In Psalm 26, he uses three words. He says, test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. So I want you to see three things there. Test me, try me, examine me. Test me, try me, examine me. The test there really means scrutinize. Like, don't just take just quick look. I didn't see anything there. I mean, it's like, get into the nooks and crannies, God. Maybe there's a blind spot. Maybe there's something that I have done for so many times, it's like automatic now. I never even think about it anymore. And you need to bring it to my attention. So that's what the test is. It means scrutinize. The next word that he uses there, try, is the word for an assayer. An assayer, that you bring him in a chunk of rock and go, hey, I think I got a valuable thing here. I think I got some crystal in here. I got some gold. I got some silver. The assayer has the trained eye to be able to look and say, nope, you just got a chunk of meaningless rock, or yes, there is something valuable here. He says the same thing. He says, look at my life. Is there some rock, some ugly stuff that needs to get rid of? Or is there something valuable there that needs to come out? Because then the last thing, when he says, examine my heart, that really is the word for refine me, put me through the heat. So is it possible that this bite from this fellow sheep was God's way of saying, I need you to look at something? We need to at least be open to that possibility that that bite was because I hadn't seen something before, and this is what's going to get my attention. I want you to hear Job's words, and I'm not going to do you guys can read Job 31 later, but let me just point a couple things out to you. These are the last words that Job is going to speak. So this trial that he's been going through has been going on, and he has in essence been saying all along, I don't think I did anything wrong. But he's got some friends that show up that say, Job, you must have done something wrong. I mean, God wouldn't allow this to happen to you if you had lived a perfect life, and so there must be something. So they were kind of saying to him almost what David said, you know, have you really checked all those nooks and crannies? You looked everywhere. So Job chapter 31 is the last words of Job. After he's done speaking, a young man named Elihu is going to step up and he's going to speak, and then God's going to speak, and the story's over. So these are Job's last words. Let me just give you a couple of them in your handout. I just gave you a couple, but there's several of them in here. Listen to him scrutinizing himself. If I have walked in falsehood, or my foot has hurried after deceit. So in all of these phrases, then in the next verses, he says, then I need God to clean this up. I need God to deal with this thing. But he's searching. Verse 7, if my steps have turned from the path, if my heart has been led by my eyes, or if my hands have been defiled. Then verse number 9, if my heart has been enticed by a woman, or if I have lurked at my neighbor's door. In verse number 13, he says, if I have denied justice to any of my servants. Verse 16, if I have desired the desires of the poor. Verse 17, if I have kept my bread to myself instead of sharing it with those in need. Verse 19, if I have seen anyone perishing for lack of clothing and not help them. Verse 21, if I have raised my hand against the fatherless. Verse 29, this is a tough one. If I have rejoiced at my enemy's misfortune, or if I have gloated over the trouble that came to him. But then I think that this is the key one. His last one, verse number 33. If I have concealed my sin, as men do, by hiding my guilt in my heart. Is it possible that God allowed somebody to bite me so that I could say, I wasn't aware of that. I didn't see that coming. I think we have to be open to that. Job was, David was. Test me, try me, examine me, put me through the fire, put me through the pain of this bite to let me know. So let me give you, and I'm going to go through these. I'm not going to elaborate a lot on them, so I will put them, we'll post them online so you can go back and look at it. But I think here's some questions that we need to consider when we're bit. This is the supernatural response to think about it, not the natural reaction, like Paul's first natural reaction, well, God will, it's going to smack you, you whitewashed wall. Okay? Not that one, but say, well, hold on a second here. First question is this. Has this kind of thing happened to me more than once? If it was one time, okay, maybe it was the other person. Okay, somebody has bit me in the same way or pointed out the same thing, or it's been a different person doing the same thing. That's happened to me. There were times that this is when I was running our business, and I had a couple of people that, you know, I ran our business well. I ran it with excellence, and I think that you guys know that I don't like to lose. I'm a competitor, and I played tough. I played to win. And a couple of people that said something to me used almost the exact same phrase. It was painful. But after the second time, I had to go, well, wait a minute. Maybe they're seeing something. Maybe there's part of my attitude, and there was something that I needed to correct. Here's another question. Has a spiritually wise person attempted to address this with me before? Has somebody else in my life said, hey, I've noticed this, and you kind of went, no big deal. It's fine. And now this bite has brought that back to my attention. Okay, so maybe it's not just this person. And what do we want to do when we're bit? Smack them right back. Hey, wait a minute, don't bite me like that. Okay? But before you do that, go, oh, wait a minute. A wise person in my life already pointed this out to me. And I didn't deal with it then. And now this bite is calling it back to my memory. I need to address it.
Here's another question.
Do I ever admit that I'm at fault? Or is it always the other person's fault? I knew someone once that anytime there was a conflict, this person always said, is it me or is it them? And surprisingly, it was always them. It was never that person. I'm only aware of one person whose feet have ever been on planet Earth that could say that it was never me, it was always them, and that'd be Jesus. So the rest of us, there are going to be times that we're going to have to say, yes, it was my fault. If you are sitting there saying, no, it's always their fault, I think you're hiding something. You're concealing something in your heart. How about this one? Do I find myself making a list of why they should apologize to me? You know what? They owe me an apology because of this, 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 this. Need to pay attention to that. But then this last one, this is the one that really gets me the most, is when was the last time that I apologized to someone else? If I find that I have to, wow, I really go back in my history to think of the last time I apologized to somebody. I mean, other people keep biting me and they keep owing me apology, but you know, I've done pretty good. I don't need to apologize to anyone. Maybe this bite is a warning for me. Maybe it's God's way of getting my attention. So I think we can say it like this. When we're bitten, our natural response is to place all the blame on the other person. But our supernatural response is to ask God to search us. Now here's the great thing about this, is that when the Holy Spirit points it out to us, He also empowers us to make the change that we need to make. Sometimes it's going to be asking forgiveness of God. Sometimes it's going to be asking forgiveness of the person. And almost always it's going to include making amends. Here's what I did wrong. Not just simply saying, I'm sorry, but saying, I want to do better. I want to fix what I just broke. That's going back to what David said. Test me, try me, examine me. When I'm bit, oh, I want to smack them right back. Wait a minute, God, test me, try me, examine me. I want to respond in a supernatural way. Not a natural way, because the natural way, everybody expects that to happen. And here's what I have learned over time. You guys have probably learned this too. When somebody hurts me, here, I don't want to just get even. I want them to feel it a little bit more. And then what do you think is going to happen to them? They're going to go, oh, you're right. No. Then they want to go a little bit more. And then I want to go a little bit more. That's natural. Supernatural is when they hurt me that I go, test me, try me, examine me. Even if the Holy Spirit doesn't reveal anything to me at that time, I still want to respond in a supernatural way.
Amen.
Because listen, friends, in the kingdom of God, we only have two options. There is either win-win for us and for all the other sheep in the pasture, or there's lose-lose. It's not like when I was in business when I could say, well, I win and you lose, but that's just it doesn't work that way. We don't have that in the kingdom of God. It's either win-win or it's lose-lose. Look what Solomon said in Proverbs 10. He who heeds instruction and correction is not only himself in the way of life, there's one win, but also is a way of life for others. There's the other win. On the flip side, he who neglects or refuses reproof not only himself goes astray, there's a lose for me, but also causes to err and is a path toward ruin for others. There's another lose. I need to rely on the Holy Spirit to respond in a supernatural way, because that's a win for me and it's a win for the kingdom of God. If I react in a natural way, I lose, but so does everybody else around me. And as Solomon says here, I'm really setting up other people to lose further because I'm escalating it. And it's going to get ugly. It's going to get really painful. And it gets to the point where at sometimes you can be around a group of people that have been at odds with each other and you say, what started this whole thing? And they go, I don't know. I can't even remember what started it, but I just know I don't like them and they don't like me. I can't get along with them and they can't stand me. That's all I know now. That should never, ever be said in the kingdom of God. Yeah. We don't want to react in the moment in a natural way. We want to pause long enough to say, Holy Spirit, test me, try me, examine me, so I can respond in a supernatural way that becomes a win-win. So that's my challenge to myself. I've told you guys this before. It bears repeating. I had this conversation with the Holy Spirit when I first felt I was being called to be a pastor. I said, I never want to stand before a group of people with my finger out like this and say, you people, me too. I want the Holy Spirit while I'm preparing a message to be going, you, Craig, deal with this, and let me just talk to you guys on Sunday about what the Holy Spirit showed me while his finger was pointing right here. I'm not pointing my finger at anybody and saying, you should do. I'm just telling you what the Holy Spirit dealt with Craig Owens about this week. And I'm giving you the challenge as well. The next time that you're bit, pause. Test me, try me, examine me. I want to respond supernaturally. The Holy Spirit will empower you to do that. Lord, would you help us? We don't want to bring disrepute on your kingdom. We want your kingdom to be so attractive, so winsome, so compelling to other people that they want to be a part of it. We want those outside the kingdom of God to see real people with real faults and real mistakes, addressing those and fixing them and living together in a supernatural way. Not in the way that David talked about where they were plotting his downfall and continuing to pile on. But as he talked about in that song of ascent, that we're all journeying together and how good it is. What a blessing it is when we are supporting one another and when we are living together with one another in peace, working out the differences that we have in a supernatural way. So Holy Spirit, remind us this week when we're bit, not to give in to the quick human natural response, but to hear your voice reminding us to pray, test me, try me, examine me. Did I do something here? Is this bite getting my attention of something I need to do? May we respond supernaturally so that it becomes a win-win for us, for the other person, for the kingdom of God, so that you are glorified. I ask that you'd help us to do that this week, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.
Craig's new book, When Sheep Bite, is available now. To order, go to CraigTOwens.com. Thank you.